The Working Experience.
93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
Need to stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my biscuits?
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
smell? He was flipping his toenails at the desk. I can't take it anymore.
All right. Hey, everyone. This is Maddie K here via Skype with John.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
And this is really creepy because my video is on John's end. So John can see me. I can't see him, which is...
And that's done on purpose, of course.
It's weird. It's definitely weird.
This is how I like to interact with the world.
That's right.
I like to see everyone. Nobody sees me.
Hey, you know, we should talk about... it just occurred to me. There could be Skype dates as opposed to, like, actually going out to dinner with someone.
Oh, God.
You could just have...
You're right. You're right. It could be.
Why not? It's cheaper. You know, it's... And with the video screen going both ways, if things get intimate... You know.
Yeah.
You know.
That could very well happen.
Yeah. I think I'm on to a new sort of like an eHarmony, but it'll be just Skype dates. We can just do Skype dates. Better for everyone, really. You know?
See, even in that instance, I think I would still go with the bag over my head.
Right.
the live video, bag over the head.
Okay, so we've talked about this before. A lot of very funny stories surround the bathroom at work. A lot of drama, I think. We had Tom's story about the woman defecating on the floor in the ladies' room.
Yep.
That's pretty wild. That's pretty... I've gotten some mileage out of that with other people just telling them that, and they're just like, you know. Same reaction. Like, I was talking to our friend Drew Ackerman a couple of weeks ago, and Drew's worked a variety of jobs, never really in corporate America. And he said the same thing I did, because I've never worked in corporate America either. Is that the perception is this very buttoned-down, conservative, you know, everybody goes to work, it's hello, Mr. Mayhew, and hello, Jonathan, how was your weekend? But it's not, apparently not. Apparently that's not it.
No, it's a festering cesspool of human emotion that's just waiting to bubble over. That's what it is.
You know, it's funny, because I'll talk more about this in another podcast, but we just finished with my 11th grade reading Death of a Salesman with...
it's a great book.
Yeah, and book. Willie Loman. I mean, that was written like 50-some-odd years ago, I think. Maybe more. And that's it. It's Willie Loman, a shoe shine and a smile. Just that's what I've always wanted to be. Hey, Matt's a great guy.
you know, and it's funny. Just the such a good novel, and just the pain.
Yeah.
The emotional roller coaster of that is to like give your life, you know, for that, and then just, you know, hitting the utter bottom of just...
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Nothing.
It's
nothing.
What's that?
He has nothing.
Nothing
to show for it. But, nothing. You know, we had a lot of interesting conversations. Like, we have graded discussions, and, you know, these kids are like 17, you know, they're going to graduate next year, they'll be out in the world. You know, some go to college, some don't, and... they, you know, I was like, is this kind of scary? And some of them were like, yeah, it is scary. And I said, well, I'm 44 years old. It's terrifying for me. I mean, like, the closer you get to Willie Loman's age, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know?
No, you can see, like, I was walking, I was casting, I mean, sorry, scouting for an upcoming project. and I was in downtown Manhattan. I was walking on Broadway, and I just see people just filtering out of buildings, going back and forth, and just this look on their face.
Sheer joy. Sheer joy.
Just marching down the street, you know? And it's just, I just wonder how these people just, if you truthfully sat them down, and I think we should do this. I think you and I should go on the streets of Manhattan, get people come out and just do kind of a man on the street interview and just ask them like 5 or 6 questions. Because I think truthfully, and maybe even anonymously, just to ask people like, what do you think of your job? Like,
yeah.
Like, are you happy?
Right.
Is this like, oh, you know, how many years have you been in the company? You know, what are you doing? How old are you? How many years have you been doing this? Is this what you thought, you know, a successful life would look like?
Right.
You know, and just get maybe even like, you know, it'd be great to get like hundreds of snapshots, kind of like the, do you know what Humans of New York is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so kind of like that, but more on like, you know, a working experience, like based on work, like this is a snapshot of my life. And
right.
This is how I'm spending 70% of my waking hours.
Yeah. I know.
You know?
Well, I could see them saying, like, you know, I'm really excited. We're opening a new insurance account in Omaha. I'm going to be flying out there next week, and we're really going to tackle this thing.
Jesus.
We've got a meeting set up, and there's probably going to be a breakout session. And, I'm really looking to sink my teeth into this.
Yeah, and the other thing too is I wonder if there are any, what was that movie? Was it Network, where the guy?
I'm mad as hell.
What is it?
I'm mad as hell, and I can't take it anymore.
Right. What movie was that?
I think that was Network. Yeah.
It was Network.
Yeah.
I wonder if that happens. Just like you're saying, is like, okay, guys, we're going to have a breakout session, and you just see Bob.
Right? Freaks out.
Bob's got like, you know, he's 45 years old. He's, what hair he has left on the top of his head is gray. It's just a bead of sweat is slowly coming down his brow over, and it's going to drip off his nose.
Right.
And then he gets up, just loses his shit. This is his 1,000th, you know, breakout session. He can't take it anymore, and then he just gets up, and
that's it.
Everybody's just aghast. They're taken back. I can't believe Bob has erupted. I wonder if that happens.
Well, you know what I can envision is, because apparently, I mean, according to my brother, like, they'll have meetings and they'll have breakout sessions where they get the big, like, pieces of paper that they stick to the wall and they write ideas on them. And it's supposed to be really, you know, dynamic and all this and that. And I could just picture the guy running around ripping all the pieces down. Yeah, that's his bullshit. Just ripping them to shreds.
And Betty the Eager Beaver is writing down all the ideas on the notes, and he just goes over to Betty,
right,
takes a fucking pen, throws it, just grabs her. I mean, this is, it's not natural.
No.
I mean, you look, if you just were, you know, if you were a 10-year-old kid and you were just thrown into one of these things, you would think it's the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen in your life.
Right.
It's just that as adults, we're slowly ingrained into this, right? So a little bit of life gets sucked out of you each time, and then it's normal to go on these powwow breakout sessions. Everybody's lost their fucking minds.
Well, there's a great I don't know how great it is, but I heard the guy on the radio today, actually, and he's an educator, and he was talking about, he has a book called Lifelong Kindergarten, and he says, you know, like, the trend now is they're having kids in kindergarten, like, filling out phonics sheets and, you know, math times tables. And they're supposed to be playing. And I think this, too. I mean, he, you know, codifies it better than I do or articulates it. But, like, you know, more, like, school should be more like kindergarten, up through high school, not the other way around. They shouldn't be trying to make kindergarten, you know. And he talks about creativity and all of that. And the moderator on NPR made a good point. She's like, you know, basically education was built on the industrial system, the factory system with the bells and all of that. And that's what it was meant to move you towards. And I've heard other people say that as well. So basically,
right, I've heard that argument too.
Yeah, and if you look at the desks, you look at the rooms. I mean, they're not unlike corporate America. I mean, you're getting groomed to go right from that desk desk.
Yeah. Well, the desk will slowly grow into a cubicle.
Right. Right.
And then, if you're lucky, you're going to get into a box,
right? Which is
a room. Maybe you'll have some glass in it,
right?
And then you can see through. Then you can see the other suckers that are still in the cubicles, while you're in your office,
right?
You
your
know,
box,
you know, living the life. Yeah, you know, it's just, it, and for what? To buy more shit?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So more. This is the American dream. You go to a good school. You get a good job. So you can buy more shit. You buy a bigger house. You fill that house up with shit. And then when your house doesn't have enough room for that shit, you gotta go to a storage facility and then pay to store your shit.
Right. It works very well. The system works very well for people who sell that stuff. You know, it works very well. It's just, you know. Well, which leads me to the, you know, it. I know people always talk about how busy they are, and one watchword I've always had is be very aware or beware of people who tell you how hard they work, because it's like, no, you don't. Like, you really don't need to tell me that. Like, I really don't care, for one thing. And for another thing, you probably don't. Like,
well,
you know.
Matt, you've just described me. My first words out of my mouth is, it's a firm handshake, and I pull them in, and I go, Bobby, I'm working on 2 hours of sleep. Right. 18 hours yesterday. And I'm kicking ass and taking names.
I'm jacked. I'm all jacked. I'm hyped.
I got my Red Bull in one hand.
Right.
I'm slamming through life. I'm always telling people
how busy,
how little sleep I get, and how much I work.
Well, people are obsessed with telling you how busy they are. They have to do this, they have to do that, and blah blah blah. I meant more from the other end, not people who really use it as a selling point, but like, half the time when someone says, oh, how's it going? The person will say, I'm tired. And I always feel like saying, like, what are you tired from? Come on. Like, you don't work in a coal mine, like, for crying out loud. You know? I mean, like, you know, teaching is tiring and all of that. But, like, I'm just always very wary of people who make a point to, like, you know, let it be known how busy they are and how, you know, I'm always like, I don't know. I'm not that busy.
Yeah. That's because we're all weak. I mean, there's nothing... I mean, you think about life right now for the average American, it's freaking easy.
Yeah.
What I love is I'm starving.
No, right.
No, Bob, you're not starving.
You ate 2 hours ago.
Yeah, you ate 2 hours ago, buddy.
Right.
And you had five eggs, three donuts, and a burrito.
Right.
You got enough fat on you.
You fat bastard.
To last you a solid 2 weeks. You're going to drink a water and walk around the block, my friend.
Right. Yeah. Well, and also, like, people endlessly talk about TV shows. I'm like, well, if you're so busy, why are you watching Game of Thrones constantly? Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you binge watch Netflix. Like, I don't, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you keep telling me how tired you are, like, and then you're talking about Orange is the New Black or whatever, you know, other stupid shows on. I'm just like, well, and this is an outgrowth of it. This is obviously an office that has way too much time, because I found this memo that Human Resources put out in some company. I don't know the company, but it's called Office Toilet Etiquette, Rules to Follow While Using the Restroom. Now, this is something you would think would be posted in a preschool, but this is This is how it starts. Listen to this. This is what caught my attention. It is our etiquette which distinguishes us from animals. Etiquette. I mean, this person really put a lot of thought into this. Yeah.
You know what?
Animals.
If that sign wasn't up there, I would open the men's room, pull my pants down, and just go. Pee everywhere.
Right.
And maybe shit in the sink.
Right.
But if I saw that sign...
And then claim, I didn't know. Oh, I didn't know. What?
Yeah, it wasn't posted.
Oh.
Nobody... Geez. Where was the do not piss all over the men's room sign?
Sorry, guy. So, it's our etiquette which distinguishes us from animals. Etiquette helps us stand apart from the crowd and leave an everlasting impression. Etiquette of an individual speaks a lot about his family background and upbringing. It is essential for an individual to behave in a socially responsible way. This is using the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't recycling or something like that. It's using the bathroom.
Right.
An individual must behave in an appropriate manner to find a place in society. There are certain manners which are expected out of a professional. One needs to be mature and sensible enough for others to respect him. No one ever likes to speak to an individual who does not know how to behave sensibly. Well, that is true. That is definitely true.
What prompted this memo? Did Rick go in the bathroom, shit in his hand, and then paint it all over the walls? Like,
I don't know. It's directed towards him. The male pronoun is used throughout this, which I find sexist. I find a little sexist, you know.
Yeah, that's because men are animals.
Yeah. Well, in Tom's case, it was a woman who was defecating on the floor. So that was a curveball. That was a curveball, I must say.
But I don't, I mean, I've been in a woman's bathroom. I've mistakenly walked in, but I don't spend a lot of time in there.
I think most of us have, walked in and you know, mistakenly. And
I don't know about you, but like in New York and LA now, the cool thing is like, you know, bisexual bathroom. I mean, unisex bathrooms or whatever.
Yeah.
But they get so clever with the icon.
I know, right? I don't know what it is.
And I don't know if it's because of my age, but it's confusing to me. I'm standing in front of the doors and I'm like, hey, that kind of looks like a guy.
Right.
Like, I could easily go in there,
right,
and I've gone in there, and it's been the woman's room.
Right.
And I'd be like, oh, shit. There's like two stick figures.
Yeah. Okay, so office toilet etiquette. So this is specific to the toilet. Remember, you are not the only person using the restroom at the workplace. There are other employees as well. Individual falling. A dirty and unhygienic toilet is the breeding ground of several diseases. That's true. Let us go through some office toilet etiquette necessary for an individual to follow. Never leave the restroom dirty. Smelly toilets are a big turnoff. I don't know what that means. Like, leave it dirty? Like, I don't... I guess...
Do you shit all over the seat?
I don't know, Lock the door carefully when you are inside. Okay. This one's great. If someone is inside, don't peep under the doors. See, I totally disagree. I'm tall enough, I can look over the door. But peeking underneath it's pretty good, too.
I'm glad they spelled that out, because that's my go-to.
Peek, peep. Use the word peep, too, which is, I associate with Peep Show, which is just creepy and somewhat alluring at the same time. Don't peep under the doors or knock endlessly. Wait for the other person to come out. I like to stand there and pound on the door and be like, Mike! Mike, you done?
What about this? What about if you took your phone, put it over...
Just for a joke. And then you put it on Instagram.
I think that's fair game.
Yeah, here's Mike on the toilet. Just funny, you know, just kind of having some yucks around the office. You know, put it up on the bulletin board. Female employees should avoid carrying their handbags in the washroom. I guess that's not a bad idea. Make sure you do not wet the toilet seat. Do not throw water on the floor or someone might slip and get hurt. Like, so I guess don't pee on the toilet seat. That's funny, though. I mean, that's a pretty funny joke, I gotta say. Oh, here we go. This is great. Females should always sit on the toilet seat while peeing. Like, what else is going on? Isn't that the deal?
I think that...
Or is there a hovering thing that goes on?
Yeah, they hover. If it's a dirty toilet or dirty, I guess, situation, they'll hover over the toilet.
Let me just say this to our female listeners. I really feel horrible for women when it comes to bathrooms, because women get the short end of the stick. Like, God forbid it's a porta potty situation. Oh, I mean, guys can just pee anywhere, but women, I mean, not only do they have to go in there, they have to, like, use it. And it's, I remember when I ran that half marathon and we were about mile 9 and I had to dip into the porta potty. It was a horror show like I've never seen. And I lived in New York for 20 years. I mean, you know, you see some stuff. I come out.
Yeah, that it's baking in the sun. Yeah, it's not a pretty.
The toilet had been defiled. It was absolutely like people had gone in there and purposefully just made. Oh, I come out and there's a woman standing there waiting. And I said, "You honestly cannot go in there." And I just turned around and started running. It was, but like, she was going to have no other option, I guess. Women get it. They get the shaft so badly. Check the toilet seat for unwanted stains or substance. Do not hesitate to call the toilet attendant if the flush is not working. Like, this stuff is spelled out. I'm sure the toilet attendant loves getting that call. Don't hesitate. Call Carl. Oh, here we go. This is... Do not spit on the walls.
Oh.
It is absolutely childish to write names or make designs on the walls. I guess if someone's drawing pictures of pee-pees and wee-wees and bum-bums on the... Don't spit on the wall. Like, it doesn't really occur to me to do stuff like that. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I don't get that either. The spit on the wall.
No.
I wouldn't think you'd have to spell that out, but apparently you do.
Apparently, whatever working place this is. Don't take too much time inside the restroom. Well, yeah, I mean, you try not to. I mean, I don't spend any more time that is necessary, but, you know. One should avoid taking hand phones inside the washroom. I guess people do that quite a bit.
Take
phones. Take their cell phones. It says hand.
Cell phones, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this kid was telling me, I overheard this girl talking, you know, her phone had fallen in the toilet. And then I was in another class and we were talking about something. I said, yeah, someone said her phone fell in the toilet. And all these girls were like, yeah, that's happened to me. Because, like, they keep their phone in their back pocket. And then their phone falls in the toilet. And apparently, this is, like, a very common occurrence, I guess, among the ladies. Falls in the toilet. And they just fish it out. I'm like, holy jeez. I don't know, man. A public toilet. I mean, if you're at home, that's one thing. But I don't know. Make sure you do not throw anything in the commode, tissue, sanitary napkins. Okay. Yeah, I get that. Do not leave the restroom with taps on. It's important to conserve water. Like, you would just leave the water running. I mean, some of these things, like, if you're going to do that, you're kind of a psycho, so I don't
think... Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, like...
One should not smoke inside the office toilet. Yeah. Do not throw unwanted hair or soap wrappers in the wash basin. Uh-huh. Ask the attendant to clean the toilet whenever it is dirty. So, this is... a pretty exhaustive list here on how to use the toilet.
And who's the attendant? Like,
right, I know, they're always naming this poor guy who has to deal with this.
It's all falling on the attendant's shoulders. Mm. I mean...
But I think this all seems to be an outgrowth of, like, what are you seriously busy with at work? Like, what, like, this? I mean, I guess that's all part of having, like, 100 people in the same building using bathrooms and all. Like, you still have to outline this stuff or feel like, I guess, when someone asks, like, hey, Bob, what did you do at work today? Well, I wrote up a memo and what, you know, that's what Bob did at work.
Well, it's always one person that ruins it for everybody. It's one person that goes in there and just unleashes hell.
Well, either that or this is just somebody like an HR person with way too much time on their hands and, you know.
Yeah, that's probably the case. It's just probably, you know, they're staring down their 40-hour work week and they're on their 56th version of bathroom.
Right.
It's been CC'd to 1,000 people. Everybody's put in their 2 cents and they're just polishing it up.
Well, yeah. And as they say, writing is really in the rewriting. So you really want to, I think Ernest Hemingway said that. So you want to get it right. So on a slightly different but a related note, this was a this is a website that is for companies trying to like establish codes and things like this. So this was their sample of a dress code and personal hygiene policy, which always kind of cracks me up. So hygiene.
Does it have the name of the company or no?
No. It's like a website that'll just put out, you know, a generic thing. So I guess if a company is at that point where they need to come up with these things, they just look at this website and they, you know, look for ideas. So for hygiene, it says, so you should put the company name. So Goldcrest Enterprise company employees are expected to meet hygiene requirements during regular business hours for the duration of their employment. Maintain personal cleanliness by bathing daily. Oral hygiene, brushing of teeth, required. There you go. That's required. There's a line in the sand right there.
Wait, so there's no wiggle room in that?
Apparently not.
My hand would go straight up.
I want to know how often.
Line required.
Well, it doesn't say daily. It doesn't say twice a day. There's no real, you know, there's no number put on it. So, see, you know, as the son of a lawyer, I'm looking at those things and saying, well, you're not specifying here. You know, this is
vague. You could read it, brush your teeth, and then...
That's it.
Good.
I brushed my teeth.
You can ride that pony out.
I read the memo and I brushed my teeth and they're like, yeah, Stan, that memo went out 2 months ago. Oh, well, you didn't specify it was a daily thing. I didn't know. What do you want from me? You know, I didn't know I had to brush my teeth every week.
Yeah. On a weekly basis?
Every day. Every day. Jeez, what do you think? How many hours are there in the day? Come on, man. Use deodorant or antiperspirant to minimize body odors. All right. No heavily scented perfumes, colognes, lotions. That is one thing. A lot of teachers have Purell or hand sanitizer in their classroom, and I just refuse because, first of all, I think it is utterly ridiculous that every time someone walks into a room, they feel the need to desanitize their hands. And secondly, I can't stand the smell. It drives me nuts. So
well, the Purell, it actually kills all the bacteria on your hands. So the good and the bad.
Yeah.
So you're actually, it's actually, people think that they're, you know, they think it's helping, but in fact, it's not. It's hurting.
No, it's somehow Purell, I mean, they're geniuses. Somehow they managed to convince everyone that they're going to die of a contagious disease if they're not constantly lotioning themselves in Purell. And, I mean, you go to supermarkets, you go anywhere, and there's Purell machines all over the place. Oh, yeah. Wipes.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. And the smell drives me crazy. I've used it, but it always leaves that, like, sticky residue.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible.
And someone mentioned one time... you know, the marketing of antibacterial soap. And one person said, she, you know, a medical person said, all soap is antibacterial. That's what soap is. Like,
right.
It's not that that soap is more antibacterial than that one, but so I could kind of get behind that. I know my friend Brendan, he was working for Prudential or Fidelity, and they had this guy working for them, and he would wear this cologne that was just like, it would make your eyes water. And he would like drench a handkerchief in it and then stick the handkerchief in his breast pocket. And he finally had to sit the guy down and say, look, you know, it's the cologne. Like, you gotta lay off. And the guy was like, oh, okay, I didn't know, you know, and this and that. But it's always kind of awkward whenever you have to discuss someone's odor. Like, it's never not awkward.
Yeah, I've been in those situations where a coworker puts on a liberal amount of cologne.
Yeah.
Like, I almost picture him, like, you know, taking a couple sprays in the morning and then be like, ah, fuck it. And then unscrewing the top and pouring half the
bottle. It's not enough.
Jingling it over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a really, really strong scent.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah. I mean, I don't, do you wear, I don't wear cologne.
Never. I
put on deodorant. I take a shower on a daily basis and I put on deodorant. I never use, even if I'm going out,
no,
I won't put on cologne.
I use the, what's that deodorant? It's a certain, like, you only have to use it like every 2 days or so. It does work, actually. I was surprised because I don't, you know, sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't. But what was the other thing? Deodorant. Oh, well, when I worked in the Bronx, when I taught, you know, I taught middle school, and like middle school kids, sixth graders, they always want to get you gifts at Christmas time. But like, they never knew what to get from me, except I got a lot of ties. And at one point I had, and I'm not exaggerating, I had 16 bottles of cologne in my bathroom. They would just keep giving me bottles because they didn't know what to get from me. It's like,
well, that's
he's a guy.
You got to make the cocktail. You put them all, you mix them all up, and you jump in that bad
boy. Yeah, just take one spritz from each bottle just to kind of get it all going. You know,
I couldn't decide this morning.
No, so I just went for it.
We're going with the 16.
Pedal to the metal on that. Yeah, and then after a while, like, I'm telling my parents about this and, you know, my girlfriend at the time. And, you know, I'm like, do I stink or something? Like, they keep giving me bottles of cologne. Like, god damn, boy, put some cologne on, will ya?
Please use this.
You
please.
Reek. Well, one time, I may have already told this story, but I used to take the train from Brooklyn to the Bronx every day. So I'm on there and we get past 125th Street and it pretty much empties out. And there's this guy sitting like a seat away from me and he stank so badly. I mean, he wasn't like a homeless guy, I don't think. Like he didn't look, he wasn't dressed in a suit, but he didn't look bad. But he stank. And I'm like, someone can't smell this bad. It must be me. And I'm like trying to smell my shirt. I'm like, did I not launder this or what? You know, so I get to work and I went into the office and there's two secretaries in there. I'm like, do I smell or something? And one of the secretaries comes over and she's smelling me and she's like, no, you smell fine. I'm like, because then I thought maybe the guy's odor had gotten onto me somehow, you know?
Right.
Oh, it was bad. But
yeah, that's not pleasant.
I didn't know how it was possible to smell that badly. I mean, I was just like, dude, Jesus.
I mean, you just, you know, you swear off showers and deodorant.
I guess.
You get a spunk going.
So next one, clean and trimmed fingernails, 1/4 inch long or less. I will have to say, when I see somebody who doesn't cut their nails, I'm kind of like, come on, man. Like, seriously, like, cut your nails. Like,
yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah, the dirt under the fingernails.
Oh. I mean, you know, occasionally I'll look at my fingernails and think, oh, geez, I better trim them. And we talked about this with, you know, I told you about the guy cutting his toenails in the sink.
Yeah.
My friend John. But, you know, that's something that, like, I would never consider, not my toenails, I mean, that's of course, but like my fingernails, like I trim my fingernails at home. Like I would never cut my fingernails anywhere else.
No.
Some people differ on it. I think maybe Joe said he would trim his fingernails at his desk when he worked, when they actually, you know, he telecommutes now, but when he went into work. And like some people keep it on their keychain. I'm like, ugh.
On the Long Island Railroad?
Ugh. It must be a free for all. Ugh.
It's a free for all.
That's disgusting.
Fingernails. It's
shaving.
It is a free for all.
Flossing.
Yeah, just people just they do not care.
Hey, did your dad ever carry a handkerchief?
Yes.
So did my father. I found that to be absolutely revolting.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes if I was sniffling, my father would be like, here, use my handkerchief. I'm like, oh, God. Like, what are you, nuts?
Yeah. And then give it to your brother. And
yeah. Yeah.
Load in it, and like, be like, you need it again? Good.
Like, you blew your nose on that. Stop being so sensitive about it. I'm like, sorry. Sorry.
And then it goes into the washing machine.
I know. I think that has gone by the wayside. I do not see anybody carrying handkerchiefs.
Yeah, the only time I will do it is for a funeral.
Yeah.
I will bring one because then I know it's just tears that it's going to be involved.
Right.
And a gentleman thing to do. And plus, I cry like a little bitch.
Right.
Pretty much everything.
Well, you cry anyway all the time. John, you're a little late on that report. It's breakdown weeping. Wash hands after eating or using the restrooms. Okay. Personal grooming. Clothing must be clean, pressed, and in good condition and fit appropriately. Socks or hose must be worn with shoes. Neat and well-groomed hair, sideburns, mustaches, and beards. Now, if I ran a company, no man would be allowed to come in with a mustache. Like, forget it.
You know, the mustache now is making a comeback.
Oh, God. No, it's just...
comeback.
There are...
millennial jerks.
No, I know them. I know, like, hipsters and stuff, but, like, if I see a man in a suit with a mustache, I'm like, there's about 5% of the male population that looks good in a mustache. The rest of them, it's big in the Midwest. I think it always has been. It's ubiquitous. Like, you have a mustache.
Yeah, I am not a big fan of the mustache either. I don't mind the beard.
No, the beard's fine.
The full beard.
Beard's all right.
The tightly shaved beard, but just the stash is tough.
Well,
it's a tough one.
And you know what's weird? You know Chuck Todd, the guy on MSNBC, and he does Meet the Press?
Yeah.
He has a goatee, which I used to wear a goatee all the time when I was, you know.
So did I, but I'm not a fan of the goatee either.
Well, now.
You either got to go beard or go home.
Now people, I've heard it referred to as the face mullet. It's just pretty good. Yeah, there's something like you're trying, I don't know what it is. Like, you know, and I'm not looking to stifle anybody's individual creativity or whatever, but yeah, the mustache, absolutely not. Absolutely not. The goatee, you know, it's all right. I mean, I don't personally go for it anymore, but, you know.
All right. Well, here's we're coming up to like 45 minutes.
Okay.
So we should start wrapping this up. But let me just make this point. This whole with the toilet rules and with the hygiene rules, we're going back again to, you know. You've got a company telling you how to behave.
Right.
It's like
you're
a grown person.
You're
an adult. And you have to be told that you have to wear socks with your shoes. Go fuck yourself. I mean, this is another thing. It's like you're constantly, all right, do this, do that, show up here, do this. And if you don't, you get screamed at. And oh, by the way, you know, wear socks with your shoes.
Right.
Whatever you do, don't grow facial hair. And don't look at women. And don't look at men. No. You know, it's just like, are you freaking kidding me?
Well, this does say neat and well-groomed hair, sideburns, mustaches, and beards. I guess they're okay with that. I guess beards are more in vogue now. But, like, I remember someone saying, I forget who it was. It was someone we went to college with, like, saying they couldn't really grow a beard at work because, I don't know, they just didn't like it. But now, I guess, I think it's, I don't know. I really don't know where, like, corporate America.
Yeah, I think beards are very socially acceptable. I think, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, like, ZZ Top days.
Yeah.
Like, a full beard like that was, like, a renegade.
Well, that would be a no. Yeah, that would be a no-go. But I think, like, the trimmed beard now is, like...
Yeah, but even now, you could go with a pretty full beard.
Yeah.
You'd have to keep it neat, but I think it's socially acceptable.
Oh, socially, yeah. And I guess companies now are kind of like...
And I don't think you would have a problem at most jobs with it.
No. Same with tattoos, because everybody has them. So...
You know, in my industry... Everybody has tattoos.
Yeah.
And I really have nothing against it. And I don't, but it used to be socially, it used to be a big, you know, or if you had them, you would cover them up. You would never, ever display them. Or you would get a tattoo in a place where if you wore a button down, nobody would see it, you know? Yeah. But now they're ubiquitous. I mean, everybody has a tattoo. What I don't understand about a tattoo is like, okay, you got to get a tattoo when you're 20 years old. And let's say you love racing cars and you got a car tattooed on your back.
Right.
And then at 40, you couldn't give a shit. The car looks like it's been through a crash.
Right. I
mean, and it's like 10 times as expensive to get that tattoo removed.
Oh, yeah. It's very painful, too.
I don't know why they can't invent something where you could, like, keep a tattoo for, like, a couple of months or, like, a year, and then it just, like, fades away. It's just so permanent.
To me, now, it's almost becoming dorky, because I see, like, the biggest dorks, like, you know, just totally middle-of-the-road, milquetoast, whatever, and they have a tattoo. And I'm like, all like the meaning's gone out of it, you know? It's just like...
Well, yeah, it used to be like renegade, like really, really hardcore.
And now it's been co-opted. See, what you really have to go for is the facial tattoo. That's still...
That's on another level.
Right.
Like, the neck tattoo is one level.
Yeah.
Once you go to the face, you're literally telling the world, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. You're not going to sit in the Merrill Lynch interview talking about your portfolio while you've got an eyeball tattooed on your forehead.
You're pointing to the eyeball and go, I got a story about
this. I got a good story. Good story. All right. So, So hopefully those of you, hopefully this was not just a joking, entertaining thing. Hopefully some of you learned how to properly groom yourself and use the toilet at work. You know, that this show is also to inform. Yeah, these little pointers. Don't wet the seat. I would also, now it's funny, and our friend, I'll just call him Tony, used to have a wonderful routine when we went out to bars. He would go into the bathroom and pee all over the roll of toilet paper. Now,
that's pretty,
it's funny. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's funny, but I'm not going to recommend, you might avoid that. You might avoid doing that.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Well, the best part was this one place in particular that he targeted. They finally took like 5 rolls of toilet paper, put them on a rope, and hung them like well off the floor, like
so
above the
toilet. He couldn't piss up.
So he gets onto the toilet tank and proceeds to soak all 5 rolls of toilet paper. And he says he's thinking to himself at the time, I'll show you. And then I told my brother this story, who knows Tony very well, and he said, my brother's response was, showed who what? Like, what? That I shouldn't be allowed in the bathroom. Like, basically.
I could just see him opening the door and they'd be like,
absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're raising the bar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a challenge.
And he's looking at the toilet paper with a twinkle in his eyes. And
yep. I got this. And then the next person coming in and is just soaked rolls.
It's just dripping.
And all these people want to do is use the bathroom. That's all they want to do. It's just going to use the bathroom, but no.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this edition of The Working Experience. And thanks a lot for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys.